Hour number three, B. Mitch and Finley. Toby Altizer in for J.P. Finley today alongside Brian Mitchell. It's time to get out to our guest hotline and bring in our guy from the Commanders, Brian Colbert Jr. What's going on,
BC?
Dude?
Hey, good to be on. Y'all are here jamming, too. I like the tune.
Hey, man, that's all landfill. We don't have nothing to do with that.
I love it. Thank you guys for having me on.
How big is your coat today? Because I know you, California dude, all cold and stuff.
It's nice and thick, man. I got me a nice little coat with the inside, like you had on, B, you know, the little fur on the inside. Uh-huh. I'm ready, man. I'm nice and warm.
All right, before we start getting to the game coming up this weekend, let people know, like, all the different things you're doing and where they can find you at doing your stuff with the Commanders.
For sure, for sure. So I am the official talent of the Washington Commanders. So I host our flagship show, Command Center, which comes out every Thursday. And also comes out on WSA 9 on Saturday nights. I do Next Man Up, which is my podcast, where we sit and talk to legends and also current players and just chop it up about life. B. Mitch has been on it as well. Make sure you check that out on the Commanders YouTube page. It was a really, really great conversation with B. Mitch, and it showed a lot of things that I don't think a lot of people get to see every day while you're doing sports stuff. We do pre- and post-game live on game days. Me, B. Mitch, and Santana Moss, we are on the ground, on the road, and then we are in the arena when we're home, and we're just giving you all kind of insight, analysis, player sound, coach sound, all of those different things. And, yeah, man, we do a lot of fun stuff here at the Commanders, just making content for the best fans in the NFL.
I saw you were talking to Revo and Pierre Garçon recently. What was that conversation like? And I guess you were talking about some of the rivalries in the NFC East. What was that conversation like with those guys?
Well, for sure. So, like, when you have, like, a legend like Garçon who's played in those games, it's great to hear, like, you know, what it was like and hear, like, the difference. And not much has changed, right? They hated the Eagles then. We hate them now. Same with Dallas, right? That rivalry is nice and true. But with Revo, I really liked the part of our conversation where he talked about the OGs, guys like Brian Mitchell, guys like London Fletcher, guys like Santana Moss, who have stayed close, even though they're not from here. They have stayed close to the city, stayed close to the team, and offer mentorship, offer love. And Revo was just mentioning how much it means to the players to have OGs like B. Mitch be there to shake, dap them up, show them love, and celebrate them for everything they've done. Because, of course, these current players have a ton of respect for guys like B. Mitch and Santana, who have, you know, given so much to this game. So, like, that was a conversation I really appreciated, that, like, not only does he recognize the love he's getting from the OGs, but he also wanted to give the OGs love back. And I know that means a lot to the OGs, too.
Oh, it definitely does. Definitely does. But, Brian, you are not from this area. Are you catching on to this rivalry thing where we do not like the people in blue and silver? And our buddy JP's not here today, but seems to wear blue and silver every weekend. And we're trying to wonder if he's trying to secretly tell us something or what. But we don't like the Cowboys. Are you catching on to that?
Oh, man, I'm definitely catching on. So even though I'm not from here, a lot of my dad's side of the family is from this area. So I'm very, very familiar. And then, you know, in my past working, like, you know, I worked Monday Night Football for years, Gruden Show. I've worked in football for so long, I have gotten to see a lot of these rivalries up close and personal. And I moved here from Texas, actually. So I've gotten to see both sides of that coin. And I know that, you know, the passion is deep. What surprised me, and B, maybe you could talk to this being here so long. What surprised me is when I got to a home game and we were playing the Cowboys and there were so many Cowboys fans. That actually really surprised me. I didn't think there'd be that many Cowboys fans in the DMV.
Well, it's a historical aspect to that. We'll sit down and have that conversation when we meet each other. I'll explain that to you. But I think right now, today, some of them just do it just to be asses. That's what I think. I'm just telling you the truth.
You know,
like their mom and dad liked the team back in the day, and then they just changed it. Oh, I got to go against them. You know how people just want to be rebellious?
Yep, they sure do.
This year we've been having a lot of good things going on with the team, and over the last 2 weeks we've had two losses. I think in the Steelers game, could have easily won that game. The Eagles game got away from us. What do you think were the problems for them to end up losing those two games?
I think it's tough, man. I think, you know, you look at how banged up it gets. Like, you know, this season is a long season. We have one of the latest bye weeks in the NFL, and I think it's starting to show, like, just, you know what I'm saying, you just get banged up, man. You know, you're going up against a really, really tough, two really, really tough defenses, two really, really tough teams. And to me, it's just – it's part of the game, right? I mean, you know, any given Sunday. And, you know, I don't think I've seen anything that would cause concern. I don't think fans should be concerned or worried. I mean, I think the Commanders sit at a spot that is amazing. I think fans should be very, very happy. New coaching staff, basically a new roster, brand new quarterback, rookie quarterback, all these things. And not to mention, I mean, we were down without our number one running back for some time. That matters. Like, that matters in a team that matters with scheme. So I think you do have all these things, and it's almost like the perfect storm. But I think that we see them bounce back in a really major way. We get 10 days off, which is huge. Beamish, you talked about it on our post-game show, how big getting this time is to just lick those wounds, heal, and get back to the drawing board. So I don't think it's like one thing that was wrong. I really think, you know, it's just part of that season where we had a really tough stretch. But now we have a couple games coming up that are very winnable, and I see us, you know, going back to that dominance we saw early in the season.
Talking to Brian Colbert Jr. from the Commanders. So, you know, we mentioned those back-to-back losses, and it really feels like this is the biggest adversity that this team has faced this year.
For sure.
The game, all these guys talked about the brotherhood. You talked about it after the Johnny Newton. He talked about it after he jumped offside against Pittsburgh. Yep. You just hear all these guys talk about facing adversity and now the brotherhood they have. Can you speak to that kind of just the locker room environment that those guys have and how you expect them to bounce back from these back-to-back losses?
To be honest, I don't know if it's like anything I've ever seen. I don't know if I've ever seen a new coaching staff come in and win a team of guys, especially a lot of guys that are on one-year deals, by the way, come in and just win these guys over. I don't know if I've ever seen a locker room like that. I remember Dan Quinn coming in before like a lot of moves were made, and we had just hired him. And he said, I want to bring guys, and I want to bring guys with that dog-ass mentality. And I think that he has shown that, and it has been proof, right? I think a lot of fans are like, dang, is this real? Is this brotherhood real? What are they going to do when we see adversity? Well, now we're seeing that adversity. And if anything, the brotherhood has gotten stronger. The way these guys show up for each other, it's not, you know, you're not getting those sound bites in the locker room where guys are tearing each other down or tearing the coach. You're not getting any of that. You have guys that are just even hungrier than ever. And I think facing that adversity right now is going to pay huge dividends when we start making that playoff push and getting towards the back end of this season, because it's all good. It's easy to smile and be happy when you win it and things are going great. But how do you react when things aren't going so great? And it has been nothing but great things, nothing but great sound bites from these guys, and a lot of love and support for their coach and also their rookie quarterback.
You say you knew about this area. Your dad's family lived here. But coming here and experiencing the passion that this fan base hold, could you ever expected it to be that strong?
Not at all. You know, I've worked for some franchises with pretty strong fan bases, but this fan base right here, because I got to see two sides of it, right? I got to see last season where it was a really, really long, rough, rough season.
Mm-hmm.
But the fans were still there. The fans showed love. Granted, they weren't very positive, right? They weren't very happy. They didn't have any reason to be happy, but the fans were still there. Then you go into this season, and you just feel that rejuvenation, man. Fans that have watched their team lose for so many years, now they're finally starting to experience that greatness that they heard their parents talk about, that they heard their uncle talk about, even their grandparents talk about. And no, B. Mitch, I have not seen anything like this fan base. I mean, we saw it in Arizona. In Arizona, man, that is the West Coast dang near. And we filled that place up with burgundy and gold. And that has been the norm for every place we've been to on the road. I never thought I'd see a fan base, because, like, I grew up in the Bay, right? I grew up a Raiders fan. So, you know, the Black Hole, that's a different level of fan base, right?
Yeah, they're crazy.
I don't think I'd ever.
they all need to be, need to be drug tested.
They're crazy, right? But I also think that's very similar to that here with the Commanders fan base. Not so much as crazy, but just that love and passion. No matter who our quarterback is, no matter how many times we lose, we are going to show up for this team. And that's how this fan base is, man. And to me, they're the best fan base in the NFL by far.
Well, and Brian, one thing that you've noticed that's different is last year I was there week three against the Bills and Commanders lost. And it felt like 90% Bills fans. This year I'm here against the Browns, and that's a totally different environment. The fan base is rejuvenated. They're showing up to the stadium. Mm-hmm. It feels like the only time that they haven't had a real home field advantage this year was against Pittsburgh. You got Dallas coming to town. You mentioned from before when you came out, you were surprised by how many Dallas fans were out at the stadium. Do you expect it to be a pro-Washington crowd this time? And, you know, it feels like this is a real chance for, you know, the environment at Northwest Stadium to be awesome once again.
Well, one thing we know about Cowboy fans, as loud and delusional as they are, They tuck their tails as soon as the season is over, and they are feeling like the season's over. So, honestly, I do not expect to see too many Dallas fans out there, man. They're not going to want to come out in that cold and watch their team get beat down. I just don't see it happening. But in all honesty, man, I really truly think it's different now. I mean, a lot of people made a lot of, like, the amount of Pittsburgh fans that came. But to me, it was still heavy burgundy and gold. To me, we still were the majority in that building. And it still sounded as such, you know, when we would make plays. I think the same thing happens, man. I think the tides have turned. My barber's a Dallas fan. And he don't even want to go to the game. I'm like, hey, man, you know, I might get some ticket ball. He's like, no, I'm good, man. I'm good, man. The season's over. Like, and I think that is how Dallas fans are going to be. They're not like Philly where, like, they're going to stick with their team. I think Dallas fans turn their back on their team pretty quick. It's NBA season for Dallas fans now.
Yeah.
Maybe that's our chance for Luka.
Absolutely.
That's it. They just want Luka and Kyrie now. That's all they can hope for.
One thing, too, that I think is cool, talking with Brian Colbert Jr. from the Commanders, one thing that I think is cool is this team for the longest time has gotten, you know, a pessimistic view from fans, a skeptical view from fans. Mm. And I just speak for my own self here, growing up a fan of this team, I feel differently. Like, I give them the benefit of the doubt. You know, normally this is a game against a Dallas team that is worse than you. They're starting a backup quarterback. They're coming in. The season's over. Normally there's still, like, a little bit of fear, like, oh, no, they're not going to show up this Sunday because they'd had that happen so often. Mm-hmm. This new regime, the new quarterback, just so much new, it feels different now. And I'm curious how you feel about that around the team from last year to this year, and curious as well what you feel like the fan base, because it feels like to me people are starting to come back and they have confidence in their team that they haven't had in years.
I think that happens when, you know, from the top down, everything looks right. Like, it's not just that you have, you know, the rookie of the year in Jaden Daniels, that you have this best quarterback. It's not just that. It's that you have a coaching staff with coordinators, assistant coaches down the line that all are bought in and all know this game, and we believe in them. Then you have ownership that's at every game. Adam Peters in this building morning to night, all day long. He's dived into the fan base. He's part of the community. All of these things, you don't normally see a team get it right from top to bottom, all the way from the top, all the way down to the training staff, even down to us, the media people. Like, everybody is locked in, working together and doing the right things. And I think that fans see that, right? And fans can see it on the opposite side. Fans can see through it if it was all fake and it wasn't real. But what we're seeing now is real, and it's sustainable, which I think allows fans to be excited. So even if you have back-to-back losses, right, you're like, it's okay, because we know that we're going to bounce back. It's not that, oh, if we bounce back. We know we're going to bounce back, because all of these things are in the building that equals a successful team. B-Mitch has seen it. B-Mitch has gone to the promised land. He's won the Super Bowl. And I'm sure he'll tell you, and he probably has told you, it has to be from the top. Everybody in the building has to be working for this thing to work out. And that's what fans are seeing now. And I think that's where you get that buy-in, because it comes directly from the top all the way down.
I think part of it is right now, in the way the new ownership has worked this thing, where you got old fans and new fans, mm-hmm. they're bridging the gap by having some older players come back.
Yeah.
Having the younger players hang around. Yeah. Unlike the previous regime where they only wanted certain people around.
No, I mean, that's true as well. Because, I mean, you can even see it from the legends. Like, they'll say it. They are so happy to be back. They're so happy to be around. And not only be back, but be leaned on. Doug Williams is able to mentor a guy like Jaden Daniels. He's able to be in a position where he's able to pass the torch. You know, like, a lot of that wasn't going on. And now I think that, like, again, even like I said, top to bottom, even the legends, the old people are coming in and they're making an impact.
Hold on, man. Don't go that far. Old people. What the hell are you talking about?
I know
you're a little whippersnapper. How old do you be? 30 what, two?
32. Just turned 32.
You're a young buck. I'm talking about the old people. What the hell?
I mean, no disrespect, man, but I'll tell you what, the OGs is what I'll call them, the OGs coming in here and being able to be involved with these guys like Mike Sandersill, called Fred Smoot up, you know, Bobby Wagner's had multiple conversations with London Fletcher, Brian Mitchell is very involved, and we talked about Revo and a lot of these guys on that special teams. You know, you can call Tress Way right now and have a conversation with him. To me, that is so special, because I don't think any other franchise has it like the way we have it.
Well, and I think, too, you mentioned bringing back the quote-unquote old people. I'm not going to say it. I'm just saying what you were saying.
See, he's still in his 20s. He can say it.
But, I mean, even talking about bringing back former players, you're bringing back former fans as well. I can. Yeah. My uncle's a diehard fan, lives down in the heart of right just a mile and a half from the Dallas Cowboys practice facility. The last time he bought a jersey was RG3. He bought a black Jaden Daniels jersey to wear around Dallas now because he's excited about this team. So I just think you're seeing this whole fan base come back, and it's something that I haven't experienced in my lifetime, being only 26 years old, living in the area. It's just cool to see this fan base that I've heard so much about this being a football town. Everybody cares about the burgundy and gold, and I didn't really see it growing up. Now I'm seeing it.
No, I mean, it's awesome to see because, of course, I come in here last season and I see something completely different. You know, I see something completely different. I'm like, oh, my gosh, like, what is this? But I'm around Santana Moss. I'm around Brian Mitchell. I'm around Logan Paulson, Fresh Food, these guys that are talking about the glory days and talking about what we need to do to get back. So it's been great to be a part of this season, be able to see everything happen. And let me tell you, like, there's been times when I've stood on that field and be like, I feel like we're experiencing something magical. Mm-hmm. This is before the Jaden Daniels Hail Mary. Before, I just feel like we are experiencing something special. And, man, it's so great to just be a small part of it, man. I'm truly blessed.
Brian, what do you expect Sunday? What's your prediction, or what are you expecting out of the crowd, and what do you expect out of the game on Sunday?
I expect, well, one, the crowd, man, I expect the Commanders fan base to do what they have done all season, show up and show out
for
their Commanders. I feel like it's going to be packed with burgundy and gold in Northwest, man. I have no doubt about it. And then on the game, I feel like we're going to get back to what we do, winning the game, running the ball well and efficiently, Jaden Daniels looking like the next star of this league. I think we have a major bounce back, and I think you see what this team can do with a little bit of time. And you got to remember, we were on the road for two straight weeks not too long ago. Like, this has been a very, very long season. Guys are banged up, but I think we see what we've seen most of the season: dominance, strong play, crafty offensive play calling, and all those things that we're used to seeing from this Commanders team. And I expect a nice big win against those Dallas Cowboys, for sure.
Hey, B, you got me about to play again, man. I'm over here about to get hyped up. What the hell?
You know, that's how we get it. I'm in my game day bag right now. You know, that's my job to, you know, set the scene and set the tone. But I'm telling you, like, you know, I'm sure you guys feel, you know, if I was BSing y'all, y'all would feel it. But I think all three of us know that's how we feel right now. And that's what we've seen from this team.
Yeah.
Hey, let me tell you something, Brian. You know, you hung around Jeff that time. Jeff sat here, didn't even know who you were. See, Jeff meet everybody, but don't know nobody's name.
No, stop. Stop.
He was like, man, I'm stupid. I'm stupid. I'm not going to say the other word to you.
He
said, man, that's Brian that was in the suite with us. Bro, I didn't even know that.
Because we never call you by your full name.
That's
so he was like, Brian Clover. I'm like, oh, I'm thinking it's just some other analyst. And then I'm like, when I'm on the phone and I'm hearing you say, oh, thank you, bro, I'm like, I know this voice.
when I got on the phone and you were talking to me, I'm like, I don't think this brother recognizes who I am.
I didn't at all, bro.
Oh, way to go, Jeff. Way to go, Jeff.
That's Jeff.
All good.
He gives us one every week, every day.
Well, Jeff, now you know my government now. Now, hopefully, you know, I appreciate y'all having me on this platform. Now more people will understand who Brian Colbert is, man. So I appreciate y'all having me.
All right, brother. But look forward to this weekend,
man.
Take care of yourself, bro.
I appreciate that. I'll see you tomorrow.
I'll be over there tomorrow.
Yes, sir. I'll show you love tomorrow, brother. Y'all be good, man.
All right, baby. Be cool,
I appreciate it. There you heard from Brian Colbert Jr. He joined us
on
the guest hotline. Real quick, before we head to a break, there was some breaking news that we found out in the NFL. As if there wasn't already enough turmoil in New York for the New York Jets, they fired their GM today. Not Aaron Rodgers.
Hold on. So they fired Joe Douglas, and Aaron Rodgers and his Ponzi's are still there.
Yeah. We already knew that Aaron Rodgers is GM.
Does nobody
head
not
coach.
Understand that the reason that they're losing is because of Aaron Rodgers and all of his stupidity? He has gone in and strained that team. We talked about brotherhood just now with Brian. There is no brotherhood
None.
Up there. There's Aaron Hood. That's it.
Let's take a break on that. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley on The Fan. Big thanks to Brian Colbert Jr. for joining us in the last segment. Toby Altizer in for J.P. Finley today. It is B. Mitch and Finley. B. Mitch got me hungry over here. He's eating some gumbo. Looks incredible. Smells incredible.
Good. And I'm not rubbing it in. I'm just saying it's good as hell, man.
How long does that take to make?
Anywhere from 2.5 to 3.5 hours, depending on how much and what you're doing.
Oof. So, smells incredible.
Don't worry. I got to bring it in. You know, I normally bring in a pot every year. So I'll be bringing in a pot soon. Take care of the boys. You know, Then we get to see people in the building that we don't even know work here.
They probably don't. They're just bringing people off the street.
We find that day, bro. We bring in gumbo. And that smell comes in, and people be from all over this damn place. I'm like, who the hell is that?
I'm gonna try and pull a JP here and pull a segue from one Louisiana dude to another. Jaden Daniels went to LSU.
Yeah.
They say that he is fully healthy. Dan Quinn yesterday opened up his press conference. We'll hear from DQ in just a sec.
Yep.
He said that he's fully healthy. Are you fully buying it? Here's DQ yesterday to open up his press conference.
Clearly and honestly, Jaden is not injured right now. But we did lose valuable practice time, John, with him and his teammates when he was injured. And that's hard on all the guys. It's a really, really important part of what we do. And we don't have banked reps in years, so we're very much looking forward to getting back onto a full week and regular practice sessions with the guys. So over the last few weeks, we've had to, you know, put that together in small bits. So that's what I think into that space. And as we're heading into this week, we're looking forward to getting a full week of our practice and, you know, work the things that we need to.
So are you buying? He says he's fully healthy, and the reason that some of the struggles have been is missed practice reps.
Yep.
Is that something you're fully on board with? Is that what you believe, or is it something a little bit more?
No, I buy that 100%. I think you listen to what he says. He says he's fully healthy right now. Might not be fully healthy in the game. Might not be fully healthy prior.
Yeah, it's true.
But right now, when you talked to him yesterday, he's fully healthy. But ultimately, if Tom Brady were to miss a few days of practice, it's not a problem. But Tom will still lose a little bit, but he can also bring it back if he has such a long history of the muscle memory and all. Jaden doesn't. So if Jaden Daniels were to miss those few practice days 5 years from now, 6 years from now, will he come into the game and be better than he was? I believe he will. But the question is asked about, is he healthy? And I know most times people automatically assume they're going to say yes. But what if he had said no? Then what does the question stop, or does another narrative come?
Yeah.
Okay. And after he said he was healthy, you think the people that asked the question believe him?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like, listen, man. One thing about me, I have a distinct position of being a guy who played ball as long as I did, who did radio shows while I played and TV, and have been covering this thing now for over 20 years. I know that most things are all about starting a narrative. I know that most stories are, the questions are asked because I probably already wrote my story. I just need some extra stuff to come in as a quote from the person. And I think that's the ultimate thing where people got to be a little careful, because I answered the question earlier. I said nobody in the NFL is healthy right now. Would I be wrong by saying that?
No.
Because everybody got something wrong. But there are guys who could play at 85% that's better than the guy backing them. Guy that got to be 95% to be better than the guy backing him. So ultimately, nobody is at 100%.
Well, and that's where I think it's crazy that people are talking about this injury the way that they are.
Jaden's quarterback. We blow the quarterback position out of proportion compared to other cities.
And Jaden didn't play well against Philly, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Mariota's not winning that ball game.
Nope.
Like, I don't understand. Like, you want them to bench Jaden? Like, he's not fully – I doubt he's 100%. I don't think anyone would say that he is. But is he healthy enough to go out there and play and do what he needs to do? Absolutely. Yeah. Or they wouldn't put him out there.
Yeah. He was healthy enough. If that's the case, he probably was less healthy when he played against Chicago and ended up winning the game.
Yeah.
Because I had somebody hit me on social media and tell me that they should bench him now and start thinking about next year. I'm like, well, what planet do you live on?
Here's where I'm interested. I don't know if – did you ever have a rib injury or anything like that? Is sitting out for 2 weeks going to make all that much of a difference versus playing? Because it's not like...
Not really.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, people think, oh, he needs to sit. Okay, so say he doesn't play against Dallas. Say he doesn't play against Tennessee and he gets to the bye week. Is it going to be that much of a difference, assuming he doesn't get, you know, just absolutely drilled in one of those games? Is it going to make that much of a difference because he threw 30 passes Dallas and 25 against Tennessee? Absolutely not. So I don't get it. We got some breaking news here on The Fan.
Earl Forsey with breaking sports news on The Fan. The Alex Ovechkin injury, I told you we're keeping an eye on. Capitals have just issued a statement within the last few minutes. Here's what it says. Capitals captain Alex Ovechkin sustained an injury to his lower leg during last night's game in Utah, listed as week to week. Ovechkin will have further evaluation with team physicians in D.C. on Wednesday. So Ovechkin took a hit on the left leg. It appeared to be the left knee early in the third period of last night's win in Utah. Ovi had a couple of goals at that point. He's 26 away from tying Wayne Gretzky's all-time NHL record now. The knee injury, the latest from the Capitals again. Ovechkin will be listed as week to week. They'll have further evaluations with team physicians when they get back to D.C. on Wednesday. Breaking sports news concerning the Caps from the Crop Medcalf 5-star sports desk. I'm Earl Forsey on the Fan.
All right, week to week. That's, I think, I'll take that as a plus.
Yeah, I mean, it could be much worse, and they could have already found something in his knee.
Yeah, and say, well, he has this, he's going to be out for us. It's in the period. Week to week tells me it's a pain threshold thing. Whenever I hear week to week, I first think about pain threshold.
Well, and it's probably, you know, I saw one of the Twitter doctors, whatever you want to make of it, said like a sprained MCL just off of the video. I would assume if it's week to week, obviously there's nothing torn because they probably would have known that.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's going to be something that hopefully he can get back out on the ice relatively soon. But like we were talking about earlier, he's, what do we say, 27 away from passing the record?
Yeah, 26 tied, 27 he has.
27 to pass the record, and they still got 60-plus games left.
I have a number in my head. I like number 30, so I feel he gets 30 more this year.
And even if it's something where he, you know, misses a week or two of time, he can still break the record this year pretty easily.
The pace he was going.
The way that he was going. Hopefully it's just something, you know, that doesn't slow him down because he was playing so well.
He's playing great. You know, and I think, but like, you know, as we were talking earlier about the injury thing, I think a lot of times we get so caught up in how we would respond to injuries. You know, a guy go get some ACL surgery or things like that, and he's back 7 months. He's moving around before seven.
Yeah.
A lot of, Adrian Peterson was playing again in like 5.5, 6 months. McNabb was playing in 7 months. It doesn't take no more. It doesn't take a whole year. The average layman who goes out and get a MCL, ACL surgery, they probably never, ever walk straight again. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, I had ACL surgery.
They damn sure not running.
I had ACL surgery, and I was young 20s. It took me 2 years before I felt fully
but,
right
But that's
again.
What I'm saying. So I think a lot of times you have to be able to remove yourself from some of these thoughts and put the person who's been doing this since they were kids, put their mindset into it.
Yeah.
You know, when I played the game, I probably would tell you I never got hurt. But I know when I left the game and I didn't do nothing for like 2-3 months, all of a sudden I started feeling things that were hurting that I never knew were hurting. And now I try to go do some stuff. I'm like, man, how the hell did I do that all those years? You are a different mindset when you're playing that game, you know, and you have to be, because if every little thing troubles you like most fans and media think it does, you couldn't play, you know, because every time they see any hit, oh, and I'll go, oh, that wasn't that bad, because you got to look at how the hit is and how the person reacts to it. The ones that look hard aren't. The ones that look like it was just a glance, that ass hurts. I'm letting you know right now, it hurts big time. So just a little bit, and I understand in this thing. I think when we first came together, me and Jay, we were talking. It's a football's mindset and the media's mindset, and mine shouldn't be completely overruling everything. And damn sure the media one shouldn't be completely overruling. We should always have an understanding that there is a different thought process of those guys on the field compared to the guys that are covering them.
Well, and so to bring this back to what we were talking about before with Jaden, to me, when you look at the ribs, I always felt like he was going to play the next week against Chicago. I always felt like that. I said that right away, that I felt like
he
would play.
I was a little concerned until I forgot who the guy's name was who sent me this stuff when he got hurting against Missouri.
Yeah.
He had a crack rib.
Mm-hmm.
He only went back in the game and had like 200 and 200, something like that, you know? And but, I was like, oh, he going
to
play.
But to me, it's one of those things where obviously we don't know the extent of the injury, don't know exactly what it is. Obviously, it's a rib injury. But everybody immediately goes back to Robert, and Robert was totally different because it was a knee injury that could get worse.
Yeah. But the thing about it, Robert knew he was hurt and was trying to hide it.
Yes.
All the people now that act like they are stupid or they just got a forgetful memory, go back. And what was it called? The moment of impact, whatever the thing he was on with, he was talking to Trent. He said, I heard my knee go, won't, won't, but don't say nothing to nobody. He knew he was hurt then.
Yeah.
When he claimed they gave him the high sign. What the hell is the high sign? Nobody said go back in the game, but he ran back on that field, did he not?
Yeah.
So this guy knew he was hurt and put himself in jeopardy. I don't think Jaden has that mindset.
Well, and two, with Jaden, with the rib injury, they're going to make sure they protect him. I don't know that he's at any more of a risk right now than he would be any other time he takes the field in an NFL game.
He wears a flap jacket. Okay? And if it was a direct hit on the ribs that caused the injury, that's one thing. But when you fall and you're crunched, that's another thing. So the injury didn't happen from a helmet or a shoulder pad to the rib. It happened because of the way he went down. You know what I'm saying? I would say next time, dude, stiff arm and run like you know you can. Don't go down in no pile like that and let people fall on top of you. To hell with all these people are saying.
Yeah, and to me, it's like he's not at any more of a risk, and I'm not seeing large-scale differences in his game. He hasn't played as well the last couple of games, but it's not something where he's missing guys by 10, 15 yards, and he's making horrible decisions. No, he's missed some guys. There's no doubt about it.
Yes.
But it's not as if all of a sudden he's gone from a great quarterback to a below average. No, he's fine.
Yeah.
It's just he's clearly hindered a little bit, but when Dan Quinn says he's fine, I believe he's fine to the fact that he can play. He's not 100%.
Man, all he needs is a little gumbo. He'll be all right. Just telling you.
Well, send some over there, B-Mitch. Yeah, send some over there to fix it.
About to make him a whole pot.
B-Mitch and Finley, you're listening right here on 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer in for JP today.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. The NBA is back, and FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, wants you to catch all the action. And right now, FanDuel is giving everyone 3 months of NBA League Pass. All you have to do to catch every tip-off and buzzer beater is place any $5 bet on the NBA to get 3 months of NBA League Pass courtesy of FanDuel. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to make every moment more this season. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. FanDuel sportsbook, the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. After 3 month free trial, the full price of NBA League Pass will be automatically charged monthly. Cancel anytime. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Limit one pass per customer. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
B. Mitch and Finley, Toby Altizer in for J.P. Finley today alongside Brian Mitchell. We got two breaking news today. You're talking about that. We got Alex Ovechkin dealing with a lower leg injury listed as week-to-week. Also in the NFL, we learned that general manager of the Jets, Joe Douglas, has been fired. How crazy has that been?
Joe Douglas pushed to get Aaron Rodgers and Woody Johnson ain't have nothing to do with that?
I mean, just how crazy. One, it's hilarious that Washington has finally gotten things figured out, and now you're on the outside. You get to look at all these other teams. It's hilarious to watch.
It's funny. Look, man, you basically bring a guy in, and everybody he says to bring, you went and got.
Mm-hmm.
And I doubt that Douglas was the person leading the way. That owner has allowed Aaron to do whatever the hell he wanted to do. He got his receivers. He got his offense coordinator. He got everything he want, and you still can't win a game. But it's everybody else's fault. I can't buy that.
Well, and the crazy part, you look at their numbers since they fired Robert Saleh. They're giving up more points per game. They're not scoring as much. They're giving up more yards. They've gotten worse since they fired Robert Saleh. The team is a complete joke. And I liked Aaron Rodgers as a football player. I enjoy watching him.
Yeah.
But what he's done, I mean,
He is selfish. He
has to go get Devontae Adams as if he didn't have Garrett Wilson and Mike Williams. Yeah. And Mike Williams.
I wish Mike Williams had stayed there.
Right.
At least one more. With the Steelers. Yeah.
Right? So I don't understand. Like, he's got Breece Hall. He's got guys there. His dude, Alan Lazard, who I always thought wasn't that good, and they brought him over.
Yep.
Like, I don't get it. Like, what I don't understand is, you know, the Jets.
You can always blame somebody else instead of yourself.
Well, the Jets were so desperate. So I don't know. They wanted to go get the guy. They got the guy. They're learning real quick. But what I don't understand.
Did they not know already that they should have known early when a guy decides he has a trip to go take.
Yeah.
Right in the middle of mandatory minicamp, that's a problem.
Well, and what I don't understand is it happens all the time with different organizations, not just this one exclusively, but you're seeing it with Aaron Rodgers. Did you win a Super Bowl in Green Bay anytime recently?
Nope.
And so you brought all the same guys over to New York to do the same thing and somehow even worse?
Hey, but you know what? Hey, Aaron said if he had this and that, he can get it done.
It's just unbelievable.
Aaron ain't telling you the truth.
It's just unbelievable because Well, you got to give credit to Matt LaFleur for what he was able to do with Rodgers, because they won 13 games the first 3 years that he had him.
Did he not try to get LaFleur out of there?
He did.
He questioned everything about it.
Absolutely.
But that team right there was like, nah. Listen, bro, that dude was supposed to make I forgot the amount of money he's going to make. They were willing to get rid of him and pay some of that to get him out the building. If that when Green Bay said bye, somebody should have known, because they normally find a quarterback and they keep him for a while. When they said bye, you should have known that was a problem.
Well, and you watch that Jets offense, and it just makes no sense to me, because you've got so much talent. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. No one's denying the talent there. But you watch it every single time they pick up yardage. It looks hard, B. Mitch. It doesn't matter what they do. Like a 5-yard completion looks hard, whereas you watch another offense,
you know,
5 yards looks easy.
Because we question young quarterbacks who we say, oh, he's not doing anything on schedule. Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
How many things Aaron does on schedule?
Not many.
Don't Aaron drop back, then start to move, and he has to do the sidearm or the weird throw to prove how good he is. Listen, one thing I want nobody to take to mistaken, the dude is unbelievable as a passer. But every pass doesn't have to be an amazing throw. If you do stuff on schedule, you're much more consistent as an individual and as a team.
Well, and this to me is why you're seeing some of these quarterbacks that are superstars in this league grow. Patrick Mahomes, when he first started, he did a lot of that. He wasn't able to work in structure as much, and it would require a lot of stuff afterwards. Now what you're seeing is Patrick Mahomes understands, I can let Andy Reid do a lot of work for me by drawing this stuff up. Yeah. I trust it. And then when I need to be Superman, I do it. You saw it with Josh Allen and the Bills. He's trusting what the offense is there. Yeah. 4th and 2, they called the wrong play. He just makes up for it and runs it for a touchdown. He's able to make up for it. Aaron Rodgers, I don't know what it was. I don't know if it's after he won the Super Bowl. I read his books, listened to the audio book of the recent one that was put out that was talking about from, I forget who wrote it, but I listened to it, and it sounds like ever since he won that Super Bowl with the Green Bay Packers, he's a totally different guy.
Yeah, because it's all about what he says and thinks and not nothing else.
And he ran out McCarthy. He tried to run out LaFleur. He's run out Robert Saleh. Nathaniel Hackett.
Eventually, you're going to run so many people out, they're going to be saying, oh, whoa.
Exactly right.
We've been getting rid of the wrong people. It's time for you to go.
Nathaniel Hackett was the worst head coach in the NFL. He got fired in his first year. Who do they bring in as their offensive coordinator? Nathaniel Hackett. So
why?
Because
Aaron says so.
Because Aaron can run things. So it's just crazy to me how everything changed for him, and if he would just let other people be a part of it, I mean, you know this, B. Mitch, football is the ultimate team sport.
100%, brother.
And so you need to depend on the other guys. Aaron Rodgers, what he doesn't understand and why he looks so bad now, Rodgers could do a lot of this stuff and lean on himself when he was 28. He could do all that stuff and make it still work. He's not 28 anymore, and so now it all falls apart.
Yeah, it does. And I would ask this question. Where do they go next year? Are they going to stick with Aaron? He has another year or so on his contract, I think.
So and I think he wants to play another
year. You stick with him and you keep dealing with this BS, or you go get you a coach or a GM who's going to tell him, shut the hell up and build a team. I'm going to build a team I want to build. I don't want none of your little guys around. If you don't want to go, bye. Listen, I would say they would do better letting him go and starting over than they will do by keeping him around.
I mean, they were doing better with Zach Wilson.
True that.
How crazy is that?
Think about that.
How crazy is that? Let's take a break. When we come back, final hour, Jeffrey Chedia from NFL.com. He's a senior columnist for them. He wrote about the Commanders in a Don't Overreact article. We'll get his thoughts on that, as well as the Joe Douglas firing. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley on The Fan.